Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon again. Welcome to another episode of Financing Your Business Today. I'm Tim J.K., your host. Today I have a special guest, Timothy Lynch. I'm featuring his book, 10 Characteristics of Highly Effective Christians. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. If you have any questions, you can call in at 347-324-3460. And if you have a question, just press 1 so we indicate you have a question, or you can post your question in the chat room and I read it out loud. Well, welcome to the program, Tim.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here, Tim. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. So kind of to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself.
Well, I am the founder of the Christian Chamber of Commerce here in Dallas-Fort Worth area. We establish Christian chambers throughout the country and other parts of the world. I am also a minister with the Potter's House Church under the leadership of Bishop T.D. Jakes. And I've written this book and other books to help motivate Christians and business people.
Wow. And you're from what part of the country?
I'm from Virginia, a little place called Hampton, Virginia.
Wow. And you migrated all the way down to Dallas, Texas?
Yes, about 10 years ago. I love it here in Dallas. Get to play golf about 11 months out of the year.
I guess you don't get to do that in Virginia.
Oh, no.
Okay. One question before we begin. I know everyone always have a story coming to the Potter's House. Every time I hear someone, hey, we come to the Potter's House. Kind of tell me about your story coming to the Potter's House.
Well, actually, I was a minister, pastor in a church in Virginia.
Wow.
And I was given an invitation to come pastor a church in Irving, Texas. And I helped establish that church. And when my work was done there, I moved on and I found myself sitting in the Potter's House. And because I met Bishop Jakes when I was a pastor in Virginia in 1996. But I had no idea I would one day be serving in his ministry.
Wow.
When my work finished in Irving, I actually came to the Potter's House, and they accepted my ministerial credentials, and I became a minister at the Potter's House Church.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Well, it's a huge church. My wife and I are members there as well. I guess
great.
To dive into it, kind of tell us about the inspiration about your book.
Well, it started when I was working for NASA Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unusual story. While working at NASA, I was working for a company called the Unisys Corporation. And they require us to take all kinds of training. And I found myself in the middle of training one day. We were doing a total quality management training session. And to my amazement, when I started hearing all of these leadership qualities that they were talking about, my mind just kept referencing scriptures. And I continued to do a little research on it. Then I enrolled in a leadership program by the country's top leadership experts. And the same thing happened. These leadership characteristics that they were referring to in business, and they just had, to me, so many profound scriptural references and bases to them that I began to do an exhaustive research session on leadership and its relationship to the Bible. And I found out that actually the entire Bible is a leadership manual. And I began to look at it totally different, that this is really what God is calling Christians to do, is to be leaders. And if you even look at the terminology like the salt of the earth, light of the world, these in essence are leadership terminology. And so therefore I began to preach and teach, and then wrote this book, The 10 Characteristics of Highly Effective Christians.
Wow. I guess just saw the earth, light of the world. And I noticed it's really, like you mentioned, everything is based in Scripture. It gives you not only what the thoughts of that particular chapter are, but also is supported by a lot of biblical contents from the Bible. It's supported by the Word. I guess from 1 to 10, I guess we can start with number 1. I guess if you can talk about the topic.
Oh, sure.
Okay. What's number 1?
Yeah. Number 1 is that they are inspired by a sense of vision and mission. And it's a revelatory, and I will just preface it by saying that we examine biblical characters from the Old Testament, and we also from the New Testament as well, but we also looked at contemporary leaders, and we made an analysis and a comparison to see what they had in common. And these are the 10 characteristics that we came up with out of that process. And the first one is that they are inspired by a sense of vision, mission. And it's a revelatory mission. And come to find out, it is what I call the outbirth of an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the primary jobs of the Holy Spirit, according to John 16, is to come and show you things to come, to lead and guide you to all truth, and to show you things to come. And so most leaders are inspired by what they have seen illuminated through the relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Yeah, man, so that's what I find common about all of them, is that they have something that is an outburst in their spirit that they have to get done regardless. Come hell or high water, this is their life purpose, and is the outgrowth of their intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. The second characteristic is that they live by faith. Now, we all hear this. What's new about that? Well, if you look at it, there's a fine line between belief in God and having faith in God, and that's what this chapter delineates. Because you can have faith in God and believe he's great, but that's fine. But if you remember the scriptures, it says that the devil believes in God and he trembles.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference this chapter points out is that faith is characterized by actions. And that's what this chapter gets into, how to take your belief to transfer it into faith. And when you have faith, you have action. And when you are acting on what God has said and what God told you to do, then you have activated the power and the anointing necessary to get the job done.
Okay.
And so that's the second characteristic, is they live by faith, which is really they live by acting on what the Word of God said.
Okay.
The third one, which is my favorite characteristic out of them all, is they have confidence in the God in them. Because a lot of us have confidence in God, and we quote scriptures, and we are on fire for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But to have confidence in the God that's in you changes your perspective. It changes your perspective to realize that you have the power and the anointing in you that actually empowers you to do the things that God has called you to do. But you have to activate it. The scripture that we base this on is in Philemon. Philemon, the first chapter, the sixth verse. It points out that the communication of your faith becomes effective when you begin to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. And the essence of what it's saying is that I am a Christian. I am anointed by God, because the mere fact that you say you are a Christian denotes the fact that you are anointed. And it's in me. This anointing and power is in me. And once you begin to think like that, you will see your entire world change. because no longer will you be inactive, hoping that God will do something for you. This transformed your mind to thinking he's already done it, and it's in me. The healing that I need is in me. The authority that I need is in me. The power that I need is in me. When I begin to acknowledge, as Philemon says, when you begin to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, you will see your faith become effective.
Wow.
So that's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah,
they have confidence in the God in them.
Yeah, step out in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and number three?
Well, actually, that was number three.
Okay.
And number four. Number four is that they are lifetime students of the covenant, which is also very, very powerful. Because I look at the covenant likening to the constitution of any country, that these are the governing rules.
Mm-hmm.
The more I understand about law that governs my life, the more effective I can be in living my life. If there are certain laws that give me access to authority and power, but yet I don't know about them, I can be out on a losing end. So one of the things about highly effective Christians is that they are constantly studying to understand what God has provided for them, what God requires of them, so they are equipping themselves. As in Timothy, when Paul's writing to Timothy, says that you need to be a worker, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you have to study. You have to study the constitution that governs the kingdom of God, and that is the word of God. And once you do that, you can rest assured that now you are fully equipped to access all of the things that God has provided for you.
Wow. Okay.
Let me see. Okay. And number five, we're moving right along. Number five is that they are motivated by God's supernatural love. All of this works together with love. And here's the interesting part about it. We know that the scripture says that the Holy Spirit, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so when you look at the Bible and you see prominent men like Paul who leave their life of somewhat of prestige and begin to travel abroad to promote the gospel, and come into all kinds of dire straits, the beheading, the living in caves, shipwrecked, and thrown in the lion's den, and all these things. There's one motivating factor in all of what they had in common, and that is that they were infused with the love of God, which I am totally convinced that when the human soul really encounters the undeniable love of God, their life will never be the same again. This has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with, what we perceive coming out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
This is the absolute love that comes from the Creator. And once it touches your mind and your heart and your spirit, your whole life and your whole perspective changes. And so that's what we see, the common thread with these heroes of yesterday and heroes of today, is that they have been infused with the love of God, which motivates them to do the things that they ordinarily would not do.
Wow. So if we go back to stop for a second, back to besides live by faith, and Bishop talked about that New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. He talked about your purpose, your mission. And if you wrap all this up, you're saying that the person already had, from before they even was mentioned, they already have a path that's already set for them, and they just need to listen and go through that path?
Yes, one of the most important things is just to spend time in prayer, meditation, with the Holy Spirit to get clarity on that purpose. It's in you. And a lot of times we do an exercise in one of the classes I teach at the Potter's House. I actually teach this book and another series called The Keys to Fulfilling Purpose. And you well know I also teach the ABCs of starting your own business and nonprofit at the Potter's House.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things we teach in the Four Keys to Purpose is discovering your passion by listening to your past. There are a lot of keys to your purpose by the things you have gone through in your past, your passions that you currently have, the gifts that you have. They all are indicators to what you are called to do, your giftings, your passions, your experiences. These are indicators, strong indicators. And so when we go through our process in the class, we go through that to help you identify what your possible purpose is, what you're gifted and called to do.
Well, yeah, within life, I know one of the things for an average person, because we're so distracted from our family life, our personal life, our kids, our business, our jobs, and how can a person take all that noise in their life and focus on what their purpose really is?
That's a very good question, Tim. And what comes to mind is that when Bishop took his ministers on a retreat, he was kind of asked that same question. And what he did really is, the answer to that question, what he gave was so profound. And this is what he said. You have to carve out meditation time every day, that quiet time. You have to quieten that noise. You have to carve out the time where you can, whether it's beginning of your day, the middle of your day, or ending of your day, but you have to have that time when you go before God in your meditation and quiet time. And just, you know, dump out and see, you know, that is, I believe, and that's how I practice my life, is one of the keys to staying focused on purpose, because you can't get away from life. It happens.
Yeah,
you know? But you have to have that time in your life where you have to go before God in quiet time and meditation, and that brings a lot of clarity to your life.
Wow. So maybe like before you begin your day, before the family even wakes up, or when everything settles down and just you, and you have a conversation with God without any distraction. So it might be the point you might have to do it at 4 o'clock in the morning, or before everybody gets up, or when everybody is asleep, then have that conversation to listen to see exactly what your purpose is.
Yeah, and I do mine mostly in the morning, very early in the morning before everyone gets up and starts staring. I steal away with my time, and I, you know, and to me it's more of a quiet meditation, thanksgiving, praise. And actually Job did this every day. In the book of Job, he did this every day, and it was very effective for him in fulfilling his purpose.
Wow. That's awesome. Hey, I guess let's go on to number six to ten. And number
Number six is they are skillful in the anointing. This is kind of an unusual one. You never really hear anybody being skillful in the anointing. But this basically talks about individuals that know how to operate in God's word, know how to apply it, know how to get the results you need to get. You know, I look at it almost like a samurai warrior in a sense. You know how to operate with it in the Word of God to get the desired result. And then this comes out of years of experience, a bump in your head, failures or falls or missteps and stuff like that. But when you get it right, you got it right. And the scripture basis for this is in 1 Peter 5 and 10. And it states this, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." And that is that you, after you've gone through your trials and tribulations, and you have effectively used the word of God, your prayer life, and things like that, and the next time you confronted with that situation, you know exactly how to be skillful in moving forward. And so that's what I find a lot of highly effective Christians are. that they know how to be skillful in the anointing that's on their lives.
Wow.
Number seven is that they believe failure is not an option. Failure is not an option primarily because we are people of covenant. And if you know anything about covenant, in ancient times, covenant was a common practice. They cut covenant in just about everything, whether it was treaties that they cut for peace, whether it was in business they cut covenant. We call it today contracts and things like that. But one similar or familiar characteristic about the covenant they cut, it had to have a guarantor, somebody who said, if you default on your word, will they cover you? What we liken that in our world is, say, a what you call a cosigner.
Mm-hmm.
The bank will say, I will give you a loan, but if your word defaults, who can come that has a word grit, a word or a name stronger than yours? So in the covenant, the reason why this chapter says they believe failure is not an option, because they understand covenant. They understand that this covenant has been guaranteed by the word of God. And you get that out of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the 13th verse. When the Lord could find no greater one to guarantee the covenant, he guaranteed it himself. And that is awesome. That takes all your listeners, I would, if they take nothing away from this, if they can understand this right here, that God guaranteed, he could find no greater a cosigner to guarantee this word to Abraham and to his descendants, that he said that I guarantee it myself. I put my name on the line. And we know that heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle of the word of God passes away. So as long as you are fulfilling your purpose and walking in purpose, and you are walking according to the word of God, there is no failure. All things will work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So there's no failure when you start out to do what God has called you to do. Now, I'm going to move right along.
Sure.
Number eight, they are spiritually mature. This one has to do with primarily that they are not shaken by what they see and their emotions. They are operating now at this point by the word of God. That's how, that's their mantra. That's their mind has been to a degree transformed. And they think in the word, they're speaking the word, they're acting the word, and they're not being led by what they see and their emotions. So they are spiritually mature. And number nine, they are willing to risk everything for the glory of God. That's their driving force. It's not about their glory. It's not about appeasing people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about manifesting the glory of God in the earth. Like Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so that's their motivating factor, is to demonstrate the glory of God in the earth. And number 10, ultimately, all servants, all Christians are ultimately servants to the glory of God. As we stated in 9, that's their whole purpose, is to glorify God in the earth. And so whatever they do, that's the end result, is that it will glorify God in the earth. And so those are the 10 characteristics.
Out of these characteristics, do you think that out of a particular person, is it, I always go back to if it's something as a gift or experience or is taught. Most of this is in a person, but try to get it out of that particular person. Any advice of, you know, is in us, we have our purpose, we can meditate. But you have that person who has that fear. What would you say to a person mm-hmm. who has that fear? Say, I know this is burning my heart, but however, you know, I can't walk away from my comfortable job. I've been here for the last 15 years or 20 years to go preach the word of God or to open this Subway restaurant, to take all this, you know, fear. What can you say to a person who has that fear, just scared to do anything, and they just rather stay where they are?
Yeah, good question, Tim. Very good question. One of my things is that definitely what comes to mind to me is you definitely have to have wisdom in what you do.
Okay.
When you're talking about making major life changes like quitting your job or something like that or taking a big venture. So one of the first things you would want to do is get involved with a mentor, someone who's doing it and have done it. That will give you the level of comfort that you need, okay, to get you a good mentor, a good teacher, someone who can help you take the steps to strengthen you, because we are to strengthen our brothers. Everybody's not at the same level, and nobody should feel bad that they're not at that level. If you are experiencing some little doubt and fear right now, that's absolutely normal. But what you should do, one of the first things you should do, is to seek God to put a mentor, a teacher, someone in your life that will help you make the necessary steps to move you forward in your destiny.
Okay. And just to wrap up, just name from 1 to 10 those characteristics again.
Oh, okay. The first one is that they have a sense of vision, mission.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is that they live by faith. The third is they have confidence in the God in them. Number four, they are lifetime students of the covenant. Number five, they are motivated by God's supernatural love. Number six, they are skillful in the anointing. Number seven, they believe failure is not an option. Number eight, they are spiritually mature. Number nine, they are willing to risk everything for the glory of God. And number 10, they are the ultimate servant to the glory of God.
Wow. And as a summary, I think on your page 61 in your book, as children of God, it's very critical that we become the ultimate servants to fulfill of all of the will of God. The salvation of others depends on the manifestation of the vision, mission that God has entrusted to you. How can they get a copy of this book? Do you have a website?
Yes, they can go to, actually they can just email me first of all at tim.lynch25 at yahoo.com, and they can just make their request, and then we'll mail a copy out to them.
Okay. So they can just email you, and what's that email address again?
Tim.lynch, L-Y-N-C-H, the number 25, at yahoo.com.
Okay, great. And last couple questions regarding that. You're involved with the Christian Chamber of Commerce. Those are
throughout
the United States, or can you tell us about that organization and how a person can become a member of it?
Yeah, then you go to www.chamber1.us and get more information about that.
Okay.
But we plant chapters throughout the country and in other parts of the world, like in Africa.
Wow.
And what our mission is to promote unity in the body of Christ through economic development, trying to introduce your products and services to the faith market.
Wow. And lastly, how is it working with Bishop Jakes? You on the ministry staff? Education.
Right. Being at the Potter's House is a life experience that is you feel honored to be there, and that's you have to say that God really has something for you to do, and you have done something right to be here.
Well,
that's great.
And you have this class also offered at the Potter's House. I know a session is coming up at the end of the month. And it's a 6-week course or a 7-week course?
It's a 5-week course. It's actually a 2-part course, and they're 5 weeks each. And it's actually in April. It starts in April.
Oh, April, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it's in 2 sessions or it's just one?
Yeah, the 10 characteristics is 5 weeks. And then the keys to fulfilling your purpose, which is the offspring, it's 5 weeks as well, and it follows right after.
Perfect. Okay, really appreciate you coming on to the program. And last thing is on your email address one more time so people can contact you and get the book.
Okay, it's tim.lynch25@yahoo.com.
Great. Again, Tim Lynch, I appreciate you coming on to the program. A founder of Chamber of Commerce Associates and also one of the minister staff of Bishop T.D. Jakes. Appreciate you coming on to the program and talking about your book.
Thank you, Tim. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. You have a great day, and I appreciate you listening. You come on to the program.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. This podcast is available on iTunes or Podfeed. You can download it also on Blog Talk Radio. Appreciate you joining the program, and have a great weekend.